Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. Good to see you all here today, and those of you who are joining us online, we're happy to have you. It's always a blessing to come together as Christians to worship God. As we begin our worship this morning, I want us to look at a familiar, one of my favorite passages that talks about us doing our part. God has done his part. Christ has done his part. But what can we do to be more blessed each day of our lives? I'm going to read the first few verses from Psalms 1. Here the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospered." Let us now begin to worship God in song.
We praise thee, O God. Number 2. If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love.
Number 886, if you're using a hymn book, number 886. I'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth verse.
A joy and story makes I stand and cast.
we'll sing number 839, 839 in his time.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day and the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves here and sing praises to thee and study thy word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the health that we have, that we're able to assemble ourselves together and fellowship with one another. We pray, Heavenly Father, be with those this morning that are unable to be here because of their health, because of procedures or surgeries that they've had. Pray that you be with them and comfort them and give them the health they desire, if it be your will. We want to remember at this time, Heavenly Father, those who have lost loved ones recently and the sadness and the suffering that they're going through, and pray that things can be said or done that will comfort them, help them get through this difficult time. Heavenly Father, be with the church here, and we beat the things that the church here is involved with. Especially, Heavenly Father, the upcoming events here, the Ladies' Day, we pray that this will be beneficial for the church here, the church the world over, and the church in our areas. Things will be done that will encourage and uplift those. As well as, Heavenly Father, those that will be traveling to Nashville in a few weeks for the Lads to Leadership Conference. And pray that you be with the young people as they travel to keep them safe. Pray that you be with them and those that are going to be guiding them and instructing them, that this will be a blessing for years to come for the church here and again for the church the world over, and that your name will be uplifted. Heavenly Father, be with us. Be with us the remainder of this service this morning. Pray that things are said and done according to thy will. And it's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you're using a hymn book, if you'll mark at this time number 940. Number 940 will be our song of invitation following the lesson this morning. Before the sermon, we'll sing number 258. Let's stand once more as we sing number 258. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Get you a deep breath.
Yeah.
Please be seated.
I think Josh just said what everyone was hoping. We do have children's training, so this is the time you can take your children out for that class. We'll be reading scripture from Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah 26 verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a moment to turn there or open that. Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation and walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, cast it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy.
If you like to sing, this is a place for you. We always have great singing. That, to me, seemed especially spirited today, and very glad for that. And it always makes me think how wonderful heaven is going to be for a couple of reasons. One, because can you imagine what the singing will sound like in heaven when thousands and millions of people are there gathered singing the praises of God? And then on top of that, we don't get tired. I don't think it says it exactly that way, but that's my impression, is that, you know, we won't have to catch our breath. We'll just keep on singing throughout eternity. So it's going to be great. And I really love the fact that we have reason to sing. It's not just we like to sing. We like to sing praise to God. God is so good to us. God is so great and awesome. It's just wonderful to be able to express it in a group like this. So we're glad you're here today. We are very glad you're here today. We've got several who are visiting with us. I challenge all of our members to look around, and if you see somebody you don't recognize, go up and get acquainted with them before they leave and let them know we're glad you're here. And we really are. If we can help in any way, for any of you that are visiting with us, please let us know, and we'll be glad to do whatever we can. And for all of you that are joining us online, and I know those numbers are still significant. There's a lot of people that watch us while this is going on live, and then many more join us later watching the recorded versions, and we're glad that you also are joining us in our worship to God. We'd love for you to come out and be with us in person, but until that day comes, if it comes, thank you for joining us the way that you're doing right now. But Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6. You know, I'd actually thought that we might worship outside this evening. It's going to be that warm, they say. But then I thought, well, it's been so windy, my hair will get messed up. So we'll wait a little. We'll wait a little longer for that. But it won't be much longer. And we will again be having outdoor worship. And that's always just a blessing, to be able to worship God in his creation. And that's something we look forward to. But we urge you to come back and join us again this evening at 6. And let's worship God again together. Now get your Bible out. Let's get our Bibles and study together from this wonderful book, the book that God has given us, because there's always lessons that will help us understand better what this life is about, what we have with God, and how to live in this world more successfully. I often hear people, and I know you do as well, talking about how bad things are getting in our world. And there's a lot of things that we can point to and say, it's just getting worse. We can talk about military actions around the globe. We can talk about crime and cultural unrest. And we can talk about a lot of things that things are just getting really bad. And the effect of that is, wow, this is just bad. You know, we get kind of gloomy, we get kind of discouraged. And yet, in the Word of God, we find this is not a new phenomenon. Let's go to Psalm 37 for a moment. Psalm 37 and verse 7. And what I want you to see there is people are pretty much alike, no matter what time period on earth we're talking about, and no matter where on earth we're talking about, people are people. Here's what it says in Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And you probably know Psalm 37 is all about that. You know, about looking around and seeing evil and wickedness and how they seem to be doing better than we are in some respects. And we get upset about that. We get all out of sorts. And yet the writer is saying, don't worry about that. Keep your trust in God. Focus on that. And so we see that even though that was written 2,700 years ago, that's pretty much where we're at today as well. And so with that in mind, I'd like for us to look this morning at the passage in Isaiah that was read just a few moments ago. Isaiah, we're going to be looking at several other verses in Isaiah 26. So go ahead and be opening your Bible to that. And let's see some lessons about how God's people are to live in a furious world. God's people in a furious world. And I'll show you what I mean by that as we get further into this study. But let's begin in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, and we'll just read the first part of verse 1 and stop there for just a moment and make an observation. He says in the beginning of verse 1, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. So even though this is Isaiah the prophet, he says, I'm giving you a song that you will sing in times to come. Now, when Isaiah writes his prophecy and gives his prophecy, it is before the Babylonian invasion. And as you remember, Nebuchadnezzar sends his troops there. And after a period of sieging the city, they break through the walls and they carry the people away to Babylon. The people are in exile for 70 years. And that all happens after Isaiah writes this. But he's also looking ahead to a time when things are not going to be so bad. Because God will remember you. God will bring you back. And so just know it's not going to be this bad forever. So here's a song to sing after that time comes. And here's what we find now. Let's begin in verses 9 through 11. I'm going to skip around it just a bit. Because this shows us, this and a couple of other passages, show us this is a furious world. Here we find it in verses 9 through 11. My soul yearns for you in the night. Talking to God, of course. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire for your adversaries consume them. Do you get the impression there that the people are disturbed? I certainly do. Because he says, we are yearning for you, Lord. And why? Because the wicked, even when they see your mercy, they don't learn righteousness. They continue in their wicked ways. Lord, just call down fire upon them. You remember how Thomas and James and John said that to Jesus? Said, these Samaritans, they don't deserve to be here. Just let fire come down from heaven. Well, here's what Isaiah is saying. This is a bad situation. Lord, do something about it. But let's read on. Let's look further in verse 16. We're going to learn something more about this very difficult time. In verse 16, Isaiah says, "O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them." And now we understand why this is happening. We brought this on ourselves. We are being disciplined. And that's why God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and break through the walls of Jerusalem and carry his people away. It was a time of punishment. And while they were there, while they were going through that very discouraging time, they had to realize we did this to ourselves. We did not keep covenant with God. And so that, in a sense, makes it all the worse. And then once more, look at verse 20, at what he says about the difficulty of the time that will come. He said, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut the door, your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by." Until the fury has passed by. And there, fury, of course, refers to a storm, a very powerful and destructive storm. And he's saying, in effect, go into your storm cellars, shut the door, stay there, because this storm will pass. And that's why I chose the title, "We're Living in a Furious World." Because there's lots of storms, no matter what time period we're talking about. And yet now, what I want you to see as well in this song in Isaiah 26 is there's a whole lot of good things to focus on. Don't just look at the bad that's happening around us. There's a whole lot of things that God has given his people that will help us to endure. So what are those things? Well, that's what we're going to look at now. Some of the blessings that God gave his people in this time to help them endure the fury until it was past. Let's go back to verse 1. We'll pick up the latter part of verse 1 and read verse 2 as well. He says, "We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps it, that keeps faith may enter in." And so right away we see for the people that still trust in God, there is a place of refuge and security. Now the people that don't trust God, there's no safety, there's no security for them. But he says, the righteous, let these people that are righteous enter in. Open the gates, Lord. And then again, notice what he says in verse 20 again. Let's look at it again. "Come, my people, enter your chambers. Shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by." And again, that means, yeah, tough times are going to come. But God gives security and refuge to his people. What a blessing that was for those that trusted God. Even though Babylon had carried them away into another land, God is still with us. God has not forgotten us. But look at a second blessing that we find in verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." I love this verse. It's one of my very favorites in all of the Bible. God is able to keep us in perfect peace. In fact, about that phrase, perfect peace, let me read to you something that Alec Motyer writes about it in his commentary. He said, "Perfect peace is literally peace, peace. The idiom of reduplication, meaning all-embracing peace." And so even though the world is crumbling around you, and even though the storm is blowing hard and tearing down buildings and overturning trees, you can have peace because God is with you. And again, in verse 12, the same thing is mentioned. "O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works." You're the one that's doing it, Lord, and we trust you. You're going to give us peace, even in a time of great adversity. But look at a third blessing found in verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. And there Isaiah says this, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." The Lord God is an everlasting rock. Now, of course, it's an image. But a rock is a symbol of stability. A rock is something that will stand the test of time. I mean, it may erode gradually over time, but it's there. It's not going to go anywhere. That's the idea. And in a world where it looks like everything is falling and things that we once trusted are no longer there, God is an everlasting rock. He is our security, our strong foundation. We can build our lives on Him. Once again, a fourth blessing found in verse 19, Isaiah 26 and verse 19. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Now, the Old Testament, did they know anything about the resurrection of the dead? Well, they had a lot of dreams and hopes like we do. Ours is built on much more than they had. But he may be talking here about the resurrection of the nation. The nation of Judah had been carried away. It looked like they were gone forever. But here he says God will bring the dead back to life. That nation that was considered gone forever, oh, they're coming back. God himself will raise them. And the idea that the earth will give birth to the dead, wow. That's pretty amazing. Again, a gift that God gave to his people to get them through the storm. And then one other gift that we'll notice in verse 21, Isaiah 26, verse 21. For behold, the Lord is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the blood shed on it and will no more cover its slain. And if you've ever been victimized by wickedness or evil, you understand that need to see justice done. And here are people that have been uprooted from their homes. They've been carried away many hundreds of miles to a land where they don't understand the language. And Lord, what will you do to these people for their wickedness? And God assures them, I will take care of that in my time. It will happen. And so again, the idea of retribution, of vengeance for those that have hurt us so badly. And so those are five gifts, and there are others. I actually took two or three out that I had originally thinking, well, they're not going to sit there that long. But there's so many other gifts that are found there in this chapter. So let's just remind ourselves, this is a song. Songs are generally meant to encourage. And that's exactly what this song can do for the people of Judah who have been carried far away from their homes. But let's talk about something different now. And that is Isaiah as the fifth gospel. Isaiah, the fifth gospel. Now, you probably know we have four gospels in our Bibles. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here's a comment by N.T. Wright. He said, the fifth gospel, this is the article, the fifth gospel, why Isaiah matters. And he said, some of the early fathers, the early church fathers, regarded Isaiah as the great prophet. Some even saw the book as a fifth gospel. It's easy to see why. And there, Wright was talking particularly about the messianic prophecies, the prophecy of Christ who would be coming to this earth. And there are so many prophecies in Isaiah about Christ. But we want to see also there's so many parallels to the people of God, the people that follow the Messiah. And what I want to show you now is that for those five blessings we noted in Isaiah 26, we have parallels as Christians. Let me show those to you very quickly. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 and through 29. We talked about safety, security, refuge, and how, you know, we have a strong city. Go into your place of refuge and close the door until the fury passes over. That's what we saw in Isaiah 26. Well, for us, do we have that kind of refuge? Oh, we have something even better. That's what Jesus says here in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now, Jesus was talking about being a good shepherd in that passage. We love that passage. And when you're in the fold of the shepherd, you're pretty safe. But I mean, There are people that can climb over the wall, and there are wolves and other vicious beasts. But we're in a more secure place than a fold, a sheepfold. We are in the Father's hand. And Jesus said, if you're in the Father's hand, nobody is going to snatch you out of that hand. Now, we can remove ourselves from the Father's hand by disbelief and by turning away from the Lord. But as long as we put our hope and our trust in the Lord, we're going to stay right there. And you're not going to find any greater refuge and security than that. And so, yeah, we have that same gift that God was talking about in Isaiah chapter 26. But let's look at another of those. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We read the passage in verse 3 where it says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And you probably thought of this passage, because I always do when I read Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is especially for Christians. And it recognizes we live in a world of anxiety, right? We do. We live in a world of anxiety. But instead of giving into that anxiety and wringing our hands and just giving up, do not be anxious about anything, Paul wrote, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that we can have. Oh yeah, we're living in a furious world. There's plenty of evidence of that. But we are in the hand of God. And we have the peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds. And again, is that a gift? Absolutely. Because when others are just giving up and saying there's nothing good going to happen, we know better. We live in our Father's kingdom. And he'll bring good to pass no matter what. Look at a third analogy here, a third parallel, we might say. And that's in Matthew chapter 7. Again, the words of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. We saw in Isaiah 26, God is an everlasting rock. Well, we have security. We have that firm foundation in Jesus Christ. That's what he says right here. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That says that if you're a Christian, your life is built on stability. Stability that will never be shaken. This world may make you think things are crumbling and falling apart, but no, it isn't. It really isn't. You may have read about some sinkhole that opened up not far from where we're at right now, a little further away than us, so don't worry. But I mean, it just opened up in the parking lot of the mall about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then just yesterday, another place of business near there had to evacuate because there was some shifting of the foundation. Foundation, that's just so critical. What is the foundation of your life? And Jesus said, if you're not hearing my words and doing them, good luck. It's like building your house on the sand. But when you build your life on the words of Jesus, on the truths that are revealed in his word, you have stability that will never crumble. A third parallel, go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. And there you remember in Isaiah 26, he talked about the dead being raised and how that might refer to the nation of Judah. Well, this isn't talking about a nation. It's talking about individuals who have actually died. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Get that idea. He said, in fact. And he goes to great lengths in this chapter to show, yeah, there's plenty of evidence of that. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that means those who follow Jesus will also be raised to glory. We will follow him into heaven. If we have lived for him, we will be raised with him and follow him into heaven. And again, does that help us? I know there are several among us right now in this building at this moment who have suffered losses recently. I mean, in the last few weeks, some in the last day. And I know that's such a hard thing to endure. But when you know that those who die in the Lord will be raised again, that's not the end of their story. There's something good that is still yet to come, something better. And that is a gift as we live in a furious world. And then one other analogy found in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8. We read in verse 21 of Isaiah 26 that the Lord is coming to avenge his people and will punish those who've been so wicked. Well, that's kind of what we're looking at here, isn't it? 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. And many of the people to whom Paul was writing had suffered greatly because they were Christians. And he says, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When? When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Justice will be served. Now, we who follow the Lord have put ourselves in a position of mercy. But outside of the Lord, get ready, because justice is what we'll be facing. And that's not such a pleasant thought. But the Lord will take care of things in his time. And again, that parallels the same blessing, the same gift that God had given his people Judah in those furious times in which they live. And so is it any wonder that Isaiah has been called the fifth gospel? When you think about all of the statements about the Messiah that are found in his book, and then when you look at all the blessings that the people of the Messiah will be given, yes, we see the kingdom of God anticipated in this book. Let me close with this one thought in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. You talk about a furious moment, a moment of anxiety. The servant of Elisha has awakened. They are in the city of Dothan, not Alabama, but Dothan. And he looks around and there are enemy troops surrounding the city. And he's alarmed. He knows they've come to capture Elisha and probably him as well. And he says, what are we going to do? Elisha is not disturbed in the least. Why not? Listen to what he says. 2 Kings 6 verse 17. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In other words, we've got more on our side. We've got greater on our side than those pitiful troops out there. We have victory. And that vision, that ability to see that, made all the difference for that young man. Well, how does that apply to us? As we look around us, we see a lot of enemies surrounding us. A lot of people mocking us and saying, what are you doing, wasting your time living this ancient religion? God has given us vision. This book provides the vision that will keep us from crumbling under those furious times. And so our task is to devote ourselves more and more to knowing this book, because God gave it to us to keep us strong. Are you on the Lord's side this morning? You need to be on the Lord's side, and we urge you to make that decision today. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, then surely you're ready to follow him, we hope. And that means turning away from sin, repenting of it, confessing him before others, and obeying the Lord's command to be baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16:16. And if you're willing to do those simple things, we'd love to help you right now. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful, or have you fallen by the wayside? You need to come home, repenting of your sin, praying for forgiveness. Whatever we can do to help, we'd be glad to do it. If you'll come as we stand and sing. Seth has come forward this morning asking us for prayers for someone whose mother has died. It's someone that we don't know, but it's a friend of his mother's. And so we want to remember that family. And also, I'm having a blank spot. The other one. Well, it'll come to me. And then Joanna has come forward asking that we pray for all of us who are grieving the loss of Harriet Cruikshank. Some of you never knew her. They moved away about 9 years ago, but Harriet and Bill were such a strong and active part of our family here, and then they moved away, and then yesterday or Friday we got the word that she had passed away. And Joanna considered her a good friend, and many of us considered her a good friend. And of course, there's others that we are grieving the passing of, Charlie Hartman and Shirley, Faye's sister, and others that we have said goodbye to. And it's hard to say goodbye, even when you know they were ready for the journey. Still, it's hard to say goodbye. So we're going to pray for all of this, and God will know what's best for us. Let's bow. Our God and our Father, we praise you. You are our Father, our God, our Creator. But Lord, how good to know you love us. You've given us your Son as our Savior. And Lord, we can't imagine how hard it was to refrain from intervening when your Son was so shamefully treated, so horribly treated. And yet you refrained because you love us. And Father, thank you for Jesus. He gives us everything. And Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for the people that care about us and that pray for us when we are in need. Thank you, Lord, for Seth and for his love for others, for his concern that they might be given comfort and relief and care. Bless this family that he's thinking about, Father. And Father, we pray for the Cruikshank family. Harriet was a good friend of ours. Bless Bill and all of the family as they mourn their loss. We're all mourning the passing of our brother Charlie. What a good friend he was, Father. But we're happy for him. We believe he was ready for that journey. And we rejoice for him. But for ourselves, Father, we grieve. And for Faye's family as they mourn the loss of her sister, and for others, Lord, who have passed on. You know what we need, Lord. Sometimes we don't know how to put it into words, but the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray, and we're so thankful for that. Read our hearts, Father. Bless us in the way you know is best. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll see number 344. If you're using a hymnal, number 344. Low in the grave he lay.
Please go ahead and prepare your cups. And if you do not have one, they are outside the doors. Scripture that I like to read is Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humbled hearts, asking you to bless this bread that represents your Son's broken body that was given freely for our sins. Father, bless each of us as we partake of this, as we do it according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing in Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, as we continue with prayer unto you, we ask you to bless this cup that represents your Son's blood that was shed for our sins on that cruel cross of Calvary. Father, may we always remember what this gift was given of us. Father, bless us, keep us safe in your care. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The elders have set this time for our giving. Please pray with me for the gift. Father, as we continue in prayer, we ask you to bless this gift that's given of the heart and freely. Father, we ask you to bless this gift upon this church that is given freely for all the things that is needed for them. Father, bless this church, bless the elders and everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let us again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give us. We're thankful for the blessings, the example of the early church of coming together on each first day of the week to worship you, to grow closer to you, closer to each other's, so that we might be stronger standing against the daily temptations that are found in this world. We pray that you will be with those that we are going to mention here, those who are ill, those who are recovering, those who are suffering loss. Comfort them in a way that only you can. We ask you now to go with us, guard us, guide us in your truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have several announcements here. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. The Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet tomorrow, March 27th at 5 p.m. here at the building. Ladies' Day is coming this coming weekend. The teen and young ladies session will be Friday night from at 6 o'clock, and the ladies session will be Saturday from 9 to 12. A planning session for the Saturday session of Ladies' Day will be downstairs this Wednesday after Bible study and devotion. Also, men are needed to help with Ladies' Day this Saturday. You're needed from 8 a.m. until the end of the serving. There's also for security and cleanup. If you have any questions, please see Adam Maurer or Mike McConnell. The Easter egg hunt will be Saturday, April the 8th, from 10 to 12 at the side porch. If you plan to attend, please put your name on the sign-up sheet on the message board. If you can donate individually wrapped candy for the Easter egg hunt, please do so by April the 5th. You may put the candy in the collection box on the counter in the main welcome center. If you do community service of any kind with our career, please come to the children's training class in uniform or with props next Sunday. We will be thanking you for your service and thanking God for you. Please contact Renee Gillum if you can help. Kathy and Dave Torgerson celebrated their 50th anniversary this past Thursday. There are cookies at the Welcome Center from that event if you are not able to celebrate with them on Thursday. Have a cookie in celebration today. Remember these in prayer. The family and